This morning on the third hour of Today, reaction to the death of O.J. Simpson, a football superstar turned actor, accused and acquitted of a vicious double murder of his ex-wife and her friend.
Not guilty of the crime of murder.
This morning, looking back on his trial that captivated the world and his complicated legacy. Then later, former Vice President Al Gore, live in Studio 1A, sharing his mission and important message about climate. Plus, three big stars swinging by Studio 1A. Dennis Quaid, Cheech Marin, and Jay Hernandez live talking to us about their inspiring new movie, The Long Game. And how sweet it is, Joy Bauer making healthy chocolate treats in Superfood Friday. Today, Friday, April 12th, 2024. Live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza, this is the third hour of Today.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the third hour of Today on this Friday. I'm Dylan here with Al, Chanel, and Craig. Thank you for joining
us. Good morning.
This morning, and we do want to begin with the reaction to the death of O.J. Simpson, one of the most controversial and complicated public figures in American history.
So he was a Heisman Trophy winner who became an all-time great in the NFL. Then following that football fame, Simpson launching a successful career as an actor and a pitchman.
And then came the brutal double murder he was accused of 30 years ago. Millions watched this slow speed car chase on a California highway. People remember where they were at the time, watching TVs everywhere. O.J. Simpson in the back of the back seat of that Ford Bronco.
Arguably, that was the moment he went from fame to infamy. The world tuning in for what was dubbed then and still remains the trial of the century. Legal theater that divided the nation, ending, of course, with a decision that's still debated decades later. NBC senior national correspondent Kate Snow is here with more on O.J. Simpson's death, the reaction to it. Kate, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. So Simpson's family did announce his death on his X account. They say that he died from cancer at age 76, surrounded by family and friends. His death bringing up a wave of memories and emotions.
The news of O.J. Simpson's death brought a wide spectrum of reaction, as mixed and controversial as his life.
Is this your verdict?
Ron Goldman was murdered alongside Simpson's ex-wife Nicole Brown back in 1994. From Ron's sister Kim and father Fred, this statement. The news of Ron's killer passing away is a mixed bag of complicated emotions. For three decades, we tirelessly pursued justice for Ron and Nicole, and despite a civil judgment, the hope for true accountability has ended. From Kate O'Kalin, O.J.'s famous house guest at the time of the murders.
To Fred and to Kim, I hope you find closure. And finally, to the family of the beautiful Nicole Brown Simpson, may we always cherish her memories.
Marcia Clark, the lead prosecutor in Simpson's murder trial, telling us simply, I send my condolences to Mr. Simpson's family. Carl Douglas was one of Simpson's criminal defense attorneys.
Certainly the early part of his career is marked by great milestones. And regrettably, his legacy devolved in his later years.
As a young athlete, O.J. Simpson was a once-in-a-generation talent, winning the Heisman Trophy at USC before becoming the first running back in NFL history to join the mythical 2,000-yard club in just 14 games for the Buffalo Bills. He was later inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, his charisma making him a beloved TV personality, first in commercials and later on the big screen.
One of the greatest athletes we've ever seen, but all of that tainted forever and smeared by charges of being a double murderer.
Once revered, then reviled. That image of the white Bronco slowly traversing the 405 in Los Angeles is something anyone alive at the time will never forget.
And we are told by the California Highway Patrol that O.J. Simpson is in that car holding a gun to his head.
His criminal case, known as the trial of the century.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Lasted 11 months and for many was must-see TV. The murders also revealing allegations that Simpson had abused Brown. According to the AP, Brown wrote a letter alleging Simpson, quote, beat the holy hell out of her. 911 calls also emerging during the trial. Simpson pleaded no contest to spousal abuse charges in 1989, but has since denied the abuse. When Simpson was acquitted,
not guilty of the crime of murder,
the verdict exposed the racial divide in this country.
Not
But the Goldman and Brown families filed a civil suit in 1997 and won. Simpson was ordered to pay them $33.5 million, but only paid a fraction. In 2008, a Las Vegas jury found him guilty of armed robbery and kidnapping, Simpson claiming he was simply trying to recover stolen sports memorabilia. He served 9 years in prison before his release in 2017. After that, Simpson kept a low profile. Reports circulated in February that Simpson had been diagnosed with prostate cancer. In a video posted on X, he denied he'd been in hospice care.
Hospice? Hospice? You're talking about hospice?
As recently as February, continuing to insist his health was good. Thursday, his family announcing he succumbed to his battle with cancer.
In their statement, Simpson's family asked people to respect their wishes for privacy and grace. OJ himself never mentioned that he was battling cancer. And by the way, a family attorney for the Goldmans has said the debt that Simpson owed to them has now ballooned to over $100 million with interest accrued, and that he died, in their words, without penance.
Well, it's still a lot of controversy, Kate. But what was interesting, and for folks who don't remember, this thing became... it was dubbed the trial of the century because it was on almost every television channel. You couldn't get away from it. Right. So much so that ratings tanked after it was over. Yeah. That was say bye-bye to the soap operas and game shows. Why were we so glued to this thing?
I mean, I think a few reasons. You have to think of what time, what era we were in then, right? We didn't have phones. We didn't, well, there were sort of flip phones, I think, at the time, but we didn't really have access to entertainment on our
phones. Social media.
Right. And so you were watching this shared event with all your friends and family. Everybody was watching this trial every single day. I mean, you guys probably remember.
Oh, I remember where I was. And at the time, I was in high school, and they rolled it into our junior Spanish class. I mean, and just like the video that you see all around the country, it was that way in my classroom. Yeah. I mean, it was just, we got out to the hallway, and it was just,
it was divided.
When he was acquitted.
Bob Costas made an interesting point this morning, and others have made the point over the last 24 hours. Again, viewing this through the lens of 1994, Los Angeles on the heels of the Rodney King beating and watching those officers get acquitted, you have to wonder if something like that were to happen now, how do you think we would view it? Do you think we would view it through a different lens?
I do, but I mean, you guys can answer this too. I think what was different was what you just pointed out. Yeah. There was so much tension, especially in the Black community, with the police of Los Angeles. And that was only 2 years prior that Rodney King had been beaten.
It's good perspective.
And those officers acquitted, right? And so I think people wanted to root for their hero too.
Correct.
I mean, we laid it out in the piece. He was a hero in the sports world for so long, and not just sports, entertainment. Yeah. As a commentator, he was larger than life. And so you can see why perhaps people in the African-American community really felt aligned with him and wanted to not believe that he was capable of something horrible.
It is still sometimes a house divided. I mean, it depends on where you go this morning, the conversation that you'll hear.
He had 900,000 followers on X yesterday, like, or when, you know, when it was
this morning, though. I do think it's important to remember the Goldman family.
Exactly.
So
thank you, Kate.
As always.
Thank you. All right. Well, still to come, a spring edition of our series, Asked and Answered. Dr. John Torres is helping us prepare for the outdoors, the allergies, and so much more this spring. And then later, look who's here. Former Vice President Al Gore joins us live to share an important message about our climate. We'll be right back.
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy has done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or anytime. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.
We are back with the springtime edition of our series, Asked and Answered. Our today's staff members submitted some common questions that pop up this time of year. NBC News medical contributor Dr. John Torres is here to answer them. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Great to be here.
All right, so our first question comes from Matt Gallo. Let's take a look.
Hey, Dr. John. With the weather warming up, my family and I are going to be getting outside a lot. What are some tips to stay healthy this spring?
You know, this is the great part of springtime, yeah. Right? You get to go outside, you get to enjoy the sun, you get the vitamin D from the sun, but you want to be careful. First and foremost, sunscreen, extremely important. You want to make sure you wear it appropriately, and that means reapplying it every couple of hours, especially if you're sweating a lot or if you're in wet activities, pools, things like that, maybe even more. Bug spray, super important because the bugs start coming out, and we know that we are getting more diseases coming in here, West Nile virus, Zika, those types of diseases. You want to protect yourself from mosquitoes, from ticks. Bug spray is the secret.
Like, what's that ingredient you need in there?
DEET is one of them, and okay. Picaridin is the other one. And it just depends. Some people like one more than the other. They're both very effective. Okay. Hydrate. Can't overemphasize. I'm from Colorado where it's a dry climate, and so we realized we need to hydrate. But even in humid climates, you need to hydrate as well, you and the children, because it's easy to get dehydrated. And treat injuries early. This is mostly for the dads out there because how often have you seen it where they limp around for a day and they're like, it'll be fine. And the next day, their ankle's swollen. Treat injuries early. That means you can get back to what you want to do easier.
So it's springtime. Allergies top of mind for a lot of folks who deal with it. But some people are dealing with it for the first time, like our producer, April.
Hey, Dr. John, I've never really had allergies before until this year. Is it possible to develop them over time? And what's the best way to treat them?
You know, it's a great question. It certainly is because all of a sudden you're in your 30s or 40s and you start getting allergies. Well, it could be a couple of things. One, pollen counts are going up. And they used to teach us in med school, not completely accurate, but if pollen counts go high enough, we'll all get allergies. Yeah. And so if they get high enough, you might develop allergies. Plus, new pollen's moving in because new plants are moving with the climate change. And you yourself might move to an area where there's new pollen out there. And so it's one of those things you want to make sure that you take care of. So here's how you do it. Stay indoors with the air conditioner on if pollen counts are high. So make sure you check your pollen counts. I call our hair a pollen sponge. So rinse your hair before you go to bed because otherwise...
Not me!
You get... except for Al.
Rub your scalp.
That's why you don't have allergies, huh?
Otherwise, you get the pollen on the pillow and the second you turn over, it gets right into your nose. Don't wear outdoor shoes indoors because that's the same thing. You're just going to drag that pollen right through the house. And then get on top of these. So use over-the-counter nasal sprays, the antihistamines that are out there, wonderful medicines that can treat, but make sure you start before your allergies start because otherwise it's hard to catch up.
What about indoor allergies?
I'm sorry?
Indoor
allergies. Yeah, indoor allergies, especially this time of the year, because if you're just starting your air conditioner, you haven't changed the filters, you're going to get that puff of dust in there. So you want to be careful.
One other thing about the sprays, you got to keep using them.
You have to keep using them. They don't work right away. They take a few days to work. And so you want to keep using them, even if you're not having allergies, through the allergy season.
We've got another producer question, one of our favorites here. Kind of weird because I just saw him in the studio. He could have come up to ask you himself.
Ask me on the side.
But Brandon decided to tape his question.
Okay.
Hey, Dr. John. Now that it's spring, I was wondering, is it still possible to get a cold? And how do I tell the difference between a cold and allergies?
Brandon forgot his microphone.
Definitely possible to get colds this time of the year. You can even get flu this time of the year because we've seen it throughout outside of flu season. So there are some keys here. If you have a fever, that is not allergies. That is going to be either colds or flu type situations. If you have a sore throat, again, that's probably more cold or flus and allergies. The big key with allergies, itchy, watery eyes, runny nose, scratchy throat, top of your mouth kind of things. If you start getting body aches, it could be either. But again, fevers and cough, sore throat, those are usually not allergies. So keep an eye on that.
Okay. So good advice as always. Thank you. John, thank you.
All right. Well, coming up, we've got former Vice President Al Gore joining us live in Studio 1A, sharing his urgent mission to save the planet from the climate crisis. Then later, we've got three incredibly talented actors teaming up in a fantastic new film. Dennis Quaid, Cheech Marin, and Jay Hernandez live talking about The Long Game. Third hour today. I'll be right back.
We're back now with a special edition of Today Climate, joined by one of the world's most prominent voices on this crisis.
And one of the earliest as well, I would add. For 8 years, Al Gore served, of course, as vice president of these United States. And after leaving office, his work to educate people about the climate crisis was featured in the Oscar-winning documentary An Inconvenient Truth.
His advocacy earned him the Nobel Peace Prize in 2007. Now his organization, the Climate Reality Project, is training thousands of climate leaders this weekend here in New York.
But first, he's making a stop with us. Vice President Gore, good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good to see all of you. Thank you. And Al, thank you for keeping on this climate theme. And I hear you doing it too, Dylan. So thank you all.
I'm trying.
Yeah. It's important to get the message out.
Yeah, well, we've got to. And so we want to set the table. Last year, 2023, hottest year on the planet. 2024, most likely be again upper ocean heat at its highest level. Antarctic sea ice at a record low. The question now is, are we past the tipping point, or are you still optimistic that that's a little ways away and with work, we can mitigate this?
Well, it's important to keep hope alive, as Reverend Jackson always says. And the truth is the crisis is still getting worse faster than we are deploying the solutions. But the good news is we do have the solutions. There's been a nearly miraculous reduction in the cost of solar electricity and wind electricity. Battery power has come down 82% in the last decade. Electric vehicles, green hydrogen. The solutions are there. Now, there's a big anti-climate force out there financed by the fossil fuel companies that are trying to convince people not to make this change. The real 80% of the cause is burning gas, oil, and coal. And we subsidize it. Taxpayers are forced to subsidize the burning of all these fossil fuels and assault the future of humanity. So we need to make the changes. If we do make the changes, we can solve this. Mm-hmm. It has reached a new level of seriousness. And a lot of the scientists who are almost always cool heads, they're really beginning to get super agitated about how serious this is. So we still have time. The question is whether we have the political will, but political will is itself a renewable resource.
Mr. Vice President, again, you're here to train leaders and advocates. Obviously, they get it. Do you think that the average person in this country understands the urgency of the crisis? Is that an area where you see that we've made some headway, or do you still think that the average person just doesn't get it yet?
Well, I think most people do. And Mother Nature is the most persuasive voice on all of this. I mean, you guys talk every day on the weather news about these extreme events. You were talking about it this morning.
Right.
We're still putting 162 million tons of man-made heat-trapping pollution into the thin shell of atmosphere that surrounds the Earth every single day. It builds up. It lingers there for about 100 years, molecule for molecule. And the total amount now traps as much extra heat energy every day as would be released by 750,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every day. It's hard to wrap my mind around a number that big. But that's what's heating up the oceans, putting all this extra water vapor, and the atmospheric rivers are growing, and we get these rain bombs. And the same heat is pulling the moisture out of the soil and creating much bigger droughts, melting the ice and raising sea levels, making the ocean-based storms stronger. You've reported that this year they're expecting a really bad hurricane season. Hope they're wrong, but it's because the oceans are warming up so much from all this heat. We need to stop making the problem worse. We need to obey the first law of holes. When you're in one, stop digging. And we've got to stop using the sky as an open sewer for trapping all this extra heat.
This is good. So with the presidential election, you know, less than 7 months away, how do you think the outcome of that, whatever happens, will impact where we're at with climate change right now? Not just here, but around the world.
Well, I think in some ways, there's what you might call a big wheel moving in the right direction that's kind of unstoppable. What I mean by that is, if you look at all the new electricity generation installed worldwide last year, 87% of it was renewables. It's the cheapest electricity in the history of the world. One in five vehicles are electric now, and it's going to rise rapidly. Those trends are going to continue. But it's not enough. And so the outcome of these elections in the U.S. and elsewhere in the world this year really will make a difference. It's important to make the changes. We were talking earlier about composting and all of these different, getting a heat pump and changing the light bulbs. But as important as it is to change the light bulbs, way more important to change the laws and the policies, because that's really the solution. And unfortunately, the largest polluters are way better at capturing politicians than capturing emissions. And they have achieved a degree of control over the decisions made by governments, including in this government. But the election, unfortunately, a lot of things become polarized these days. And this is one of them.
Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel for that?
I do. I do, because I think even those who in the past would not even want to use the word climate or the phrase global warming are now saying, oh, man, I got to look at my whole cards here. You know, this thing is really getting bad. And everybody sees it in their own lives now. So we've got to get over this political barrier that the big polluters are reinforcing like revetments every single day. And they've got massive advertising campaigns to try to convince people it's not that serious and we shouldn't go so fast to try to solve it. We need to go fast.
But there are, as you said, hopeful signs. Texas just surpassing California as the largest supplier of renewable energy.
Right.
Anywhere.
So. And next year, renewables will surpass coal as the leading source of electricity on the whole planet.
Wow. Mm. Vice President Gore, good to see you.
Thank you.
Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Coming up, not one, not two, three. Three talented actors teaming up. Dennis Quaid, Cheech Marin, Jay Hernandez, all here to tell us about the long game. And then in our style file this morning, some fashionable spring looks for the whole family. Look at that. Looks no matter the weather. I see you.
It's
hi.
So cute.
Hi. Third hour of today, right back so after cute. This.
We are back with three incredible actors who are teaming up for an inspirational new project. So we're going to tee them up. Dennis Quaid is a Hollywood legend. You'll understand in a second. Dennis Quaid, a Hollywood legend, played an astronaut in The Right Stuff and a doting dad in the classic The Parent Trap.
Cheech Marin is one half of the iconic comedy duo Cheech and Chong and starred in the beloved Spy Kids films. And Jay Hernandez was fire as Diablo in 2016 Suicide Squad and played the title role in the Magnum P.I. reboot.
Well, in the new film, The Long Game, they team up to teach five young Mexican-American caddies at an all-white country club in the 1950s, but they don't do it without breaking some rules. Mm-hmm. Dennis, Cheech, Jay, good to have
good
all
morning.
Of you.
Welcome,
welcome
yeah.
back.
Great to see all of you.
By the way, we should point out, this isn't the first time that the two of you have worked on one of these sort of underdog sports films.
Yeah.
The Rookie, 22 years ago.
Was it 22 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it true that Dennis helped you get out of this sort of nervous moment?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, but, you know, I don't know if you remember
it. He was helpless.
It was early in my career, and we had this scene. It was me and him, and then, I don't know, it felt like a big moment to me. And I was nervous, and I feel like you sensed it. And you kind of leaned over, put your arm on my shoulder, and said, you're a great actor. You're going to be great. And it just really kind of settled me. And it was a special moment early in my career.
Yeah, well, my agent called me and said, look out for this guy. He's a scene stealer.
So, calm down.
I mean, it seemed like I was really trying to be very helpful. But
got it. That's
good. That was great. It was really fantastic because the movies mirror each other in a way. You know, they're about underdogs. Sports movies can't be about the sport.
No.
It's boring. I'm going to watch the Masters. I love that.
Yes.
But they need to be about something else. Rookie was about second chances in life. Everybody can relate to that. Mm-hmm. And this is the same, really. It's about belonging and not fitting in, what it is to be an American.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what it takes to get that.
Mm. Yeah. I thought it must have been really special. You guys, you know, this is based on a true story. And with one of the golfers that it's based on, you got to watch it at the White House to screen the movie. What was that experience like?
It was scary. No, it was great honor.
That's awesome.
You know, especially to play, be there with Lupe, who's 85
now.
Wow. Yeah.
Like and still plays every day.
Yeah, he came to the set, too.
Shoots his age.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that was pretty great. Yeah, this is a true story. And it took place in the 1957. I grew up in Texas and never heard this story before. These five Chicano kids down on South Texas Del Rio. They were caddies at a country club where they couldn't play because of the color of their skin and the time of segregation. And they built their own golf course out in the desert. They had one hole with like 18 ways to come at it, you know? And they started a golf team at their school, which Jay played their coach. Yeah. He was returning. And they won the Texas State Championship the very first year.
It's amazing.
At the golf course where they couldn't play.
And with the resources that they had. You know, it's interesting. I'm so happy that you guys are able to tell this story. And I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, okay, in this movie you play, you know, sort of a father figure, a mentor to these young men. And in real life, speaking of being a father, how about your son? I mean, this has been amazing. His son, Jack Quaid, followed in your footsteps. He was on the Oppenheimer team. We saw him on the stage at the Oscars. I mean,
that was really great to see him there at the Oscars. Oppenheimer, what a great movie anyway. And, he looked great, looked like he belonged. He's always been his own guy. Mm. He just always has. Mm-hmm. And, I'm calling him for help.
So, I can't believe that.
Proud must be an understatement.
It's nice. It's nice when your kids can help you out.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. And
make you a sandwich, exactly. Get you a job.
Take care.
Get a sandwich. Whatever it takes.
He's funny.
Cheech, you talk about relying on people. And you say for you that person is your partner, Tommy Chong.
Well, he's way older than me. And he was actually in professional show business before. I was in show business a lot of times too. But he had a contract with Motown. He was in the first integrated band in Motown, Bobby Taylor and Vancouver's. And he wrote this big hit, Does Your Mama Know About Me, that everybody covered. And so he was, showed me the ropes along the way, So it was like, he was a good mentor.
Yeah. Cheech came in and elevated this movie way beyond anything I would have imagined. He came in and towards the end, we showed all of his stuff like it.
In a couple two days
and a couple of minutes. Yeah. And it just made everything.
You guys were all wonderful.
This is great. Yeah. It's a great film. Good to have you back as well, Jay. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
And Cheech, always a pleasure. Dennis, we'll let you get back to watching the Masters. Happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday.
Real quickly, Parent Trap.
Oh.
Settle it. Is it really good parenting to split up twins?
That's the thing everybody missed. Here's a story about two people who get married,
right,
split up, they get pregnant, I guess, on their honeymoon, and right before or when she had the babies, they just say, oh, and why did they leave? They don't even know why they left.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I wanted to get out more or something. They just get how cruel. They never tell the kids either that you have a twin.
That's The Long Game in theaters right now.
Oh, guys, thank you so much.
Coming up,
we got some doggone great looks in our style file. How to stay fashionable and dry even when it's rough outside. Later, a different kind of bark.
Oh, my goodness.
Joy Bauer making healthy chocolate snacks in Superfood Friday. Third hour today will be right back.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.
Join me, Esther Perel, every Monday in my office on Where Should We Begin? I'm talking to couples and individuals about love and work, about turning conflict into connection. More than ever, our relationships define the quality of our lives. So let's explore the myriad of relational challenges together. See you Monday.
Welcome back. You know what they say, April showers bring May flowers. And today, the forecast calls for style. We have rainy day outfits for the whole family. Here to help is fashion expert Katie Sands. Katie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Katie. Guys, I'm so excited to be back here.
We're excited to have you because one of the hardest looks to pull off is on a rainy day coming into work and to still
you know, look put together.
I know. We've all been drenched with let down by a leaky coat or soaked in a soccer game. And it's not really fun to get dressed in the rain. Yeah. Today is a perfect day for it. So we have the right segment for today. We have 10 human models today modeling our rain gear and one furry model, my first furry model.
Okay. Oh, look at this.
And I think with some of these in your corner, you might even be helping for showers ahead. So, of course, we have Hala. You guys know Hala, one of our favorite models here on today.
Hala.
She is on in the utility jacket look. This is a look I would wear to the office, right? You want to wear a cute dress, but you want to be protected by the rain. So we have a classic utility trench. This is one of my favorite pieces for transitional looks in my wardrobe. She has her rain bonnet, so not to ruin her hair for a big meeting or presentation.
I know.
We have one
in the car, in the, what do you call it? In the glove compartment, in the car.
Well, we have a ton backstage, so I can give you them after the show. She has her Betterbrella. This is actually reverse open technology. So when you open it, you can get in and out of the door or taxi without getting wet.
It's great design.
It's such a good piece. And then, of course, she has her Hunter boots. These are the tall Hunter boots.
Yep.
And Hunter has given our Today viewers a discount code for the day. It's Today in all caps lock for 20% off site-wide.
Okay. That's awesome.
Very cool.
They work so well.
Thank you very much, Hala. All right, Hala. Let's go for a drizzly date night with your pooch.
This is a surprise. My dog is coming on.
Yo!
So this is my sister, Grace. Her boyfriend, Zach, is first time on the show. Not only are they models, but they're also the best dog sitters.
That's great.
They just went on a great date night. And of course, like the utility jacket, Grace here is wearing a faux leather trench, another water-resistant piece that we love. She has, to add some fashion flair, we added her faux leather hat as well. And you know, men can be stylish in the rain all the same. We have a Gap anorak here on Zach. And then we can't forget their Merry People boots. These are the Bobby boots. They are sustainable neoprene inside and sustainable rubber on the outside. And they can attest they're super duper light, which I think is really hard when it comes to rain boots. And we cannot forget about the dog. This is my rescue doggy, Rory Bachner.
What's
her name? Her name's Rory Bachner.
Rory Bachner.
Yes, the shelter named her, of course. And so she has on her rough wear piece. She hears me, so she's looking around for me.
She's like, I'm here, mommy.
She's
here.
A rough wear jacket because no one wants to bring a wet dog back into their apartment or home.
Wet
so
dog.
This protects not only her back, but also her stomach as well.
Oh, I love that.
Exactly.
All right,
so and she wouldn't wear the shoes, but we have her in the look at least.
Oh, they have it.
No dog wants
really,
to wear
really
the
cute.
Shoes.
No, I love that. All right,
thank
so we make it a family affair next with some little kiddos?
Oh, yes. Well, next week, I think we have our preteens coming out.
Okay.
So we have...
Not kiddos, your teens.
We have a kiddo next, but these are our preteens. You guys might recognize the girls. These are Vicky's daughters.
Oh,
we have...
Vicky's kids.
Yeah. Emerson, Odessa, and Renly. And they're in their matching outfits. And then, of course, we have our preteen male, Carter. The girls are in their matching looks because you know what? I find it's always so hard for parents, you guys I'm sure can attest, to get your kids dressed in the rain. So this ensures a simple morning.
This is so cute.
And also no wardrobe negotiations if they're all in matching looks, right?
That's a good point.
And then Carter here is in his Bowden top. This is environmentally friendly water repellent jacket.
Okay.
So it's going to repel the water, but it's not made with any toxins. And then they're all in their yellow rain boots, which we
really
love.
Really cute.
And then he has the umbrella because maybe the girls, he needs to shade some girls from some rain.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you guys so much.
Katie can't let the weather stop the family fun.
Exactly. You guys, I'm sure you all have been here before, but you have to bring a kid to a birthday party on a Sunday in the rain. It's probably the last thing that you want to do.
Right.
But if we have some mood boosting looks, some fun colors, some fun patterns, it might make things a little bit better. We have our dopamine dressing family right here. We have Steph, Steven, and Dylan. Isn't he the sweetest?
Oh my gosh.
I know. So Steph here is in her fun little rain hat to bring some color into it. We have this cool jacket, which we love. It's such a fun anorak. You can wear this whether it's raining or not raining. Her UGG Talisman rain boots. I actually live in these myself.
Cute,
I wore them here actually to the studio this morning. Wow. Dylan, of course, is in our mango jacket, his little rain boots, and his Masonette umbrella.
And then Steven
here is in our J. Crew jacket, which is another men's look to find fashion all the same.
Let's bring everybody out.
Dylan, you have to take a picture with Dylan.
There you go. He's so good.
He's so cute.
Right. Good. Well done.
Yeah, goodness, and big kids.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. I think this is the most models we've ever had, and they all rocked it.
Thank you guys.
Excellent job. Thank you.
All right, just ahead, Joy Bowers here, and she's ready to shake up snack time with some great superfood recipes that will satisfy your sweet tooth. We'll be right back. It is is Superfood Friday, and this morning we are talking snacks. This week's theme, I've been eating it, is chocolate. Today, nutrition and health expert Joy Bauer is adding a healthy punch to some of our favorite sweet treats. Good morning to you.
And it is a superfood chocolate episode, which means I think I'm going to be very popular.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We're nibbling already. I know.
All right, so let's get started with this one.
We're starting with, this is a super seed bark. Mm. So what I'm really excited about is being able to feature seeds because they're naturally low in carb and they have heart-healthy fat, protein, and fiber. So this is a trio of pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, and hemp seeds. Mm. The hemp seeds bring omega-3 fats, which drive down triglycerides. The pumpkin seeds have zinc, which helps support a healthy immune system. And you get folic acid and vitamin E from the sunflower seeds. Look how easy this is.
You melt
the chocolate, and then you mix the seeds in. I reserve some for the top, like you see. And then I do a little bit of sea salt. Pop it in the fridge, and the chocolate hardens in about 20 minutes. It's snappy.
That is so indulgent, right? This is better than any candy bar you just buy.
And you can mix up the seeds too. So you could use chia seeds or flax seeds. But I really like
craisins
this
in there too.
You can put anything in here.
What's the story in these smoothies?
This is the healthiest chocolate shake. I know it's a bold claim.
Okay.
But there's not a drop of added sugar. There's 7 grams of fiber, and there's only 4 ingredients. So
it's pretty good.
Joy, that's really good.
This is really good.
It's a cup of milk, so you have calcium and vitamin D for strong bones.
Okay.
There's a ripe banana, potassium for managing your blood pressure. There's cocoa powder, which helps with brain health and heart health, and a little bit of vanilla extract.
You can use whatever milk you want.
Whatever milk you want.
It's like a milkshake.
This is almond milk. This isn't even cow's milk.
But this doesn't even, I don't even taste a banana.
I taste a little.
Because the cocoa powder sort of overrides the banana flavor, but it does have a banana.
Ooh, a banana override.
Isn't this great? This is delicious.
And it's healthy enough to have with breakfast.
Wow.
Do I see some strawberries over there?
Yes. So
you're like, can we move on?
No. This is a fun and tasty way to enjoy vitamin C rich strawberries. So all I've done is sliced up a strawberry, and then you create a cluster. I use 3 of the pieces.
Well, that's clever.
Then I just add a dollop of melty chocolate to the middle. I want to take it over the top with a little bit of coconut also. And then you put it into the freezer. And you look how easy that is. A little bit of coconut. In the freezer it goes. And you could pick... Oh, did it melt?
No, here. It's good. It didn't melt at all.
Look.
And Joy, what's your favorite way of melting the chocolate?
I do the microwave. So what I do is I just... A really great hack that everybody should know. Before you put the chocolate chips in a bowl, mist it with oil spray because it's going to make it much easier to clean the melted chocolate bowl afterwards.
That's a pro tip.
I mist it. I put my chocolate chips in. You put it in the microwave, and every 30 seconds, stop and stir. Stop and stir.
Right. Don't just put it in for five minutes. You don't want to burn the
chocolate.
This is amazing. Home run.
Janelle says yes.
I say yes.
Yes.
You can now save your favorite recipes from the show. This is cool. With a free Today account, to scan the QR code below or head to today.com to get this recipe and then access. You have a free account with all your recipes there. Isn't that a great idea?
That's cool.
And we'll be right back.
All right, Friday, time for another round of shout-outs to our Start Today Walkers. Kathy, walking on sunshine.
Kathy!
Francine, stepping with a smile.
Francine!
Chris, making time for her walks. Get it done one step at a time.
Chris!
And shout-out to Cassie for getting outside.
Cassie!
Finally, Maria taking on the challenge and getting those steps in. Thank you to all our fabulous walkers.
All right, don't forget to scan the QR code to sign up for our newsletter or just head to today.com/starttoday.
All right, Monday right here on the third hour, Henry Cavill, Henry Golding, both going to be joining us to talk about their new Guy Ritchie movie.
Coming up on Oda and Jenna, a New Orleans party with fashion's queen of sparkles.
Ooh, well, hope you have a great weekend and see. Oh, don't forget, what's your shows?
Wild Earth Child. Odyssey.
Okay, one at a time.
Wild Child, Earth Odyssey.
Except it comes on in reverse.
Have a great weekend.
Doesn't it depend on where you live? What time it comes on?
No, it's usually pretty.
Oh, it's always that order?
Thanks for watching.